Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Every town has a story. South Dakota Public Broadcasting is on a quest to discover the vanished towns of South Dakota. You may have already seen SDPB's Stephanie Ristler with her crew on the road across the state, traveling the roads less traveled, and she joins us in our Vermilion studios today for an update. Stephanie, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Lori.
This is such a great idea, Vanished Towns of South Dakota. Where did the idea come from?
It actually happened about a year and a half ago. We were working on some other projects that were taking us across the state, and as we were working on these other projects, we came across these locations of former towns. We started to ask around in communities for people that knew information about these towns. We found them. We put together, it was about a 10-minute segment, and we focused just on a handful of towns, kind of up by the Timberlake area, west of Watertown. Crandall was one of the towns. We went into Sully County. Okobojo was a town. DeVoe, Crespard. And we told the stories of these towns that once were. Some had 200 to 300 people. Some were just tiny little villages. But they shed some light on what South Dakota once looked like. And from that video, folks across the state, and really folks that saw the video across the country, responded. And they said, yes, we want more of this. We want some of our history that is disappearing to be restored. So we've been working on the project, trying to figure out a good direction, figure out our own roadmap, and we're finally to that stage where we will continue and make a full-fledged hour documentary on what we discover.
Wow. So what's the process this summer? You're on the road. How do you sort of locate where you're going to go next?
You know, that's going to be the hard part. There are so many towns. We were in Hooker, South Dakota, which I'll share with you in a few minutes. But while I was in Hooker, I did a little Facebook post that said, hey, I'm here. A lot of folks maybe have never heard of it. If you've heard of Hooker, let us know. We want more information about the town. And if you're aware of any other towns, let us know. From that one single post, I've received suggestions on over 150 more towns that we need to visit. Only 12 of those were on our original list. So, you know, one of the things we'll have to do is what visuals are out there. When we're working in television, we have to have visuals.
Sure.
So we have to have access to these places. There doesn't have to be anything there. There may not be a building. Maybe there's just some foundation where the earth has reclaimed itself. Maybe there's just a tree. So we have to have access to these locations. If there are images of any kind, that helps. And of course, the interviews, the people that have the memories, or those memories were passed down to them through their own family. Those are the things that we need to help tell the story. So we were in Hooker this last week, and we were in Texas Town this last week.
All right. So before we get into some of the details of these early town stories, for people who are listening and they say, you know, I want to share a story too about a town. How do you want them to reach out to you?
You know, you can always email me. I'm accessible through email, and we can certainly give you that email address. And it's on our SDPB page. Email is good. Phone is good. Facebook is good. Social media is showing to be an outstanding resource for us. So South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook is a great way to reach out to us. Stephanie.Ristler@sdpb.org is my direct email. Send us your thoughts. Send us your ideas. There are so many people that grew up in some of these little communities that are gone, and it's those stories that we're looking for.
All right, tell me something about Hooker. Hooker, South Dakota.
Hooker is, yes, it is in Turner County. There's not much there. And it was, I don't want to say it was a booming town, but it had some businesses in it, a lumber yard, a post office. It was founded in 1894. It was founded by a name of John Hooker. He was a pioneer who settled there. The post office closed in 1954. We did interview the final There is a man who lives there, and he's the only individual that lives there, he and his son. And he visited with us, and it's funny. There are many different stories behind the name of Hooker. Mm-hmm. One is that when the railroad would go through, they would not stop. So anything that needed to be picked up, it would be placed on a hook, and the railroad would pick it off that hook as it went by. There are some other less flattering stories as to why the name is named Hooker, but we did visit the museum, and oftentimes the small museums in these communities have great history, and they've done a great job at documenting, and we discovered it was named after John Hooker, who settled the town years and years ago. And at one time, it actually had the reputation of being the biggest shipping point in terms of livestock handled, because it had a direct line to Sioux City and Chicago markets. Now all that's left is a couple homes. So
as you're doing this research, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Stephanie Rissler. You can see her on television with SDPB's Focus. And she's working on this documentary where she's taking a cruise across the state of South Dakota, finding the vanished towns of the state. And Stephanie, I'm wondering if you are finding indications of what happened and why the town didn't thrive and why it ended up fading into history.
Most of the demise of these towns have to do with the railroad. The railroad shaped what South Dakota would look like. And whether or not that railroad would go through a community would determine whether or not that railroad would live or die. And that's what we're finding. Some of these towns formed on their own. Some of the towns the railroad had a direct hand in where a town would go. Because back in the day, a community had to be about 5 miles apart because these trains would have to fill back up with water. And so that's why we would see so many small towns pop up all across the state. And depending if those lines were ripped up, the town would live or die. You know, one interesting town that we visited last week, it is called Texas, and it's down in Union County, not far from Jefferson, South Dakota. And all that's left is a cemetery, and there really is no one to interview. This was a rough steamboat community, and it's named Texas because what they believe is African-American slaves escaped Texas and formed a town here. It was right on the river. The steamboats would come up. They would tie up to the great big cottonwoods. There was a hotel. There was a lumber yard. There were some businesses. It thrived. And when the railroad went through Elk Point, the town disappeared. All that's left today is a cemetery. And inside the cemetery, it's not even known how many graves are in there. Many are unmarked graves. Most of the graves, from what we discovered, the folks died around 1865 to 1871. Many of them they've been vandalized, which is very sad. You can definitely tell there are many divots within the cemetery that have no markings at all. Some of them are just marble stones that were put down. And it's the only evidence that this territorial community once existed. And so, like I said, there's nobody to do an interview because it was so long ago. But the folks at the Union County Historical Society were able to gather as much as they could, and they've at least put this together. So this is one of those stories where, yeah, there's nobody that I can really interview about it, but it's such a fascinating story that few people know it exists. We have to go out and do what we can to include it in the project.
And I saw you on SDPB's Facebook page doing, a live shot from that location. The wind was blowing. And what's it like for you and the crew to kind of, for one thing, overcome the challenges of finding some of these places? You're on a hunt of sorts. But then to stand there and realize that you're the only one who's paying attention right now, at least, to this, you know, sacred spot in this place where people once made their lives.
Sure. It's humbling, and depending on where we are across the state, We're making sure we have our big boots on to protect us from the snakes and other things, because we have found ourselves on some pretty rough ground where all that's left is a cemetery out on somebody's private land. And I do want to say, when we go out and we're searching for these communities, we always have permission, and oftentimes we're escorted by the landowners. We never just go out and about looking. We do have that permission to go out there, and the landowners are excited to tell the stories. And it is humbling, and it is, as we look around and I see these graves and I read the headstones, I'm very thankful for the people that traveled across the Great Plains and found this land and tried to make homes here for themselves and their families. And I think about the difficulties that they must have faced, and being able to tell their story with whatever documented information we can get. Maybe it's documented, maybe it's just oral stories from the families that live around there. I feel very fortunate that I have a job that can allow me to do that, and I hope South Dakota enjoys it and they take something from it when they watch it or they hear it on the radio or see it on the internet, because this is history that's disappearing. And just to find somebody to tell a story is a challenge in itself. We are going to all be South Dakota next week, that is in Grant County, and one of the only living survivors of this town is 102 years old. And I wasn't going to go there until the fall, and I thought, I can't wait, I have to go now. And Right. So
when you sit down with folks, and you know, who have a living memory of a place, and are you noticing their sort of mindset about it not being, because they probably watched things change in their town. How do they look at that process? Is there a sadness there? Is there a just, you know, this was, you know, the reality of what happened? Yeah. How do
there
they remember
is,
it?
There is. Some of them are sad. We interviewed a lady by the name of Patricia Harding out by Pier, and she grew up in a town called Okobojo. And she was a little nervous at first, as expected, to be on TV and do an interview. But as soon as she started talking about being a young girl growing up in Okobojo and the dances that they had in the hall and dancing with her parents and the neighbors, her eyes filled with joy, and she just kept talking and talking. And then when you ask about, well, what do you think about it when you see it today? It is sadness. And she says, there's nothing there. The buildings that were there, the joy and the laughter, I can hear it in my head, but it's no longer there. It is kind of sad, but with that, we're trying to capture some of that and keep it alive the best that we can.
What are the projections for when this documentary might be done?
We are going to continue filming throughout the entire summer and fall. Typically, when I've done documentaries like this in the past, I'll take the winter to start writing it. I do lean on the experts across the state, so I'm working with some historians to help me as we write the script to make sure we have everything fact-checked and all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and we'll edit through the winter with the hopes of having things ready in the spring. We're hoping to visit two or three different communities each week as we move forward. Next week, I'm going to go to Kampeska. We've all heard of Lake Kampeska, but there used to be a town called Kampeska with a pretty large size baseball diamond that was there. The Chautauquas would come each year and entertain the folks that lived there, and there's nothing left. So we'll be in Watertown. We're going to go to Clear Lake and talk about some communities that once were in Clear Lake. We're going to go to Elrod, South Dakota, that was named after Governor Elrod, which there's not much left there anymore.
All right, and follow on Facebook and on social media, because Stephanie Risler throughout the summer is sort of sharing some of those places online, and we'll be coming back to this program as well with some updates. And once again, if you have a story about a vanished town, you can email her directly at stephanie.risler@sdpb.org. If you can't remember that, you can always email us at inthemoment@sdpb.org. or find us on Facebook. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time, as always.
Oh, thank you to Lori and the whole team. Thank you very much.